Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Go episode 365 of the Al Galdi podcast. Yes, 365 episodes, a full calendar year's worth of episodes of this podcast. It is Friday, July 29th, 2022. It is the day after Dan Snyder testified before Congress's House Committee on Oversight and Reform. Yes, this did end up happening. Our Commander's co-owner and co-CEO, Dan Snyder, a.k.a. the Danny, a.k.a. Danny Boy, he ended up testifying before Congress regarding the team's workplace misconduct scandal. This was one of the wilder scenarios that we've had. Early Thursday morning, as in the 6 a.m. Eastern hour, we finally got word that Dan would be testifying on Thursday. This had been up in the air. It had not been known entering the day whether the testimony would actually happen due to negotiations that had been going on for a month and a half between Team Danny and Team Congress regarding the circumstances of the testimony. Well, the testimony happened. Dan did not end up testifying under subpoena. He ended up testifying, quote, voluntarily, end quote. The testimony was virtual, as Dan testified from Israel, where he had attended a memorial service for his mother, who died a year ago. And how about this? The testimony lasted for nearly 11 hours. Yeah, nearly 11 hours. Now, unfortunately, there's not much that we can sink our teeth into. The testimony was not broadcast live. There is no publicly available transcript of the testimony, at least not yet. A transcript, though, could be released. But for now, we don't know specifically what was asked. We don't know specifically what was said. We do, though, have a statement, because of course we have a statement. We do have a statement from a spokesperson for Dan Snyder. This came out on Thursday evening. Quote, Washington Commanders co-owner Dan Snyder today voluntarily testified under oath for nearly 11 hours on top of the previous cooperation provided to the committee, despite the investigation's conclusion last month marked by proposed legislation and a summary of findings. Mr. Snyder fully addressed all questions about workplace misconduct, described the commander's dramatic two-year transformation, and expressed hope for the organization's bright future. After concluding the memorial services for Mr. Snyder's mother, Mr. and Mrs. Snyder look forward to returning their focus to supporting the efforts of the commander's incredible employees and executive team and delivering a winning season for Commanders fans, end quote. Hello and welcome to this Friday installment of the Al Galdi podcast. Dan Snyder still has not been served with this congressional subpoena that was issued for him weeks ago, but he now has testified before Congress. Perhaps in the coming days, we shall learn more about what exactly was said. Do you think that Dan, in his continuing efforts to screw with the House Committee on Oversight and Reform, like messed with the House Committee on Oversight and Reform via Zoom? Like, do you think Dan was like putting himself on mute and the committee kept having to say to Dan, Dan, you're on mute. No, Dan, you got to hit unmute. Dan, hit unmute. You know, maybe Dan kept pretending like his connection was frozen. Who the heck knows? Anyway, lots of Commanders football for you and me to get into on this show, as Thursday was day two of 2022 Commanders training camp. We had good injury news, and that Chase Roullier was activated off the active physically unable to perform list. We also had good stuff from Terry McLaurin. He on Thursday morning spoke at length via a post-practice press conference. I'll get into all of this next segment, including Terry on Carson Wentz, Terry on Curtis Samuel, and Terry on Jahan Dotson. Curtis Samuel on Thursday morning had perhaps the play of the day, although the day ended up being a defense-dominated day. The Commanders' defense on Thursday morning very much outshined the offense. I'm going to go in-depth on the Commanders' defense coming up. We all know that the team's defense last season was, shall we say, a disappointment. Is the defense, specifically the pass defense, poised to be better for this coming season? Both Ron Rivera and Bobby McCain on Thursday morning addressed the communication in the secondary, which was very much a problem last season, and hopefully will be better this coming season. Also, where are we with the depth in the secondary, i.e. nickel corner and the Buffalo nickel? Ron addressed that on Thursday morning. I'll be getting into all of this stuff, as well as the retirement of Antonio Gandy Golden. Yes, surprising news at Commanders camp on Thursday morning. AGG, we hardly knew ye. This actually got a lot of attention, Gandy Golden retiring. I mean, the guy over his two NFL seasons had one regular season reception for 3 yards. This wasn't exactly Art Monk retiring, but what happened is interesting, so I'll discuss it later in the show. Also on the show, the Orioles, another win. And with more Orioles magic, a 3-0 win over the Tampa Bay Rays at Oriole Park at Camden Yards on Thursday afternoon to win 3 of 4 games in the series. Trey Mancini in his final plate appearance as an Oriole at Oriole Park at Camden Yards prior to the MLB trade deadline, which is this Tuesday, August 2nd at 6 p.m. Eastern. He in an Orioles, a 2-run eighth, a 2-out, 2-run inside the park home run on an 0-2 pitch for a 3-0 Orioles lead. Not bad. The rise of the O's continues. I'll talk O's late in the show. You can tweet me at Al Galdi. You can email me, thealgaldipodcast@yahoo.com. Email from Stanley Evans on the paltry number of fans at day two of Commanders training camp. On Thursday morning, fans are allowed to attend practices at Commanders training camp, which is taking place at the team's headquarters in Ashburn, Virginia. But there is a lottery system through which you can get tickets to attend. And apparently not many Commanders fans are into playing the lottery because there appear to be very few fans in attendance at Thursday morning's practice. Right, Stanley, after years of mediocrity and name changes and leaving Richmond, this is what you get. It's really going to take a lot of wins and continual success for the fans to come back. We're tired of the overpromising and under-delivering. Just win, and only then will the team start to get back the trust of the fans. Thank you for the email, Stanley. Yeah, man, no doubt winning would alleviate a lot of problems for the Commanders. And, you know, they have a very hard time drawing fans right now. Everybody knows this. This is not a new problem, and the problem isn't going to be remedied anytime soon. Sportico on July 19th had a report saying that Washington was number 31 out of 32 NFL teams in net ticket revenue for the 2021 regular season. I'm not sure what there is to say anymore about the team's attendance problem. I'm certainly not anticipating attendance at FedEx Field for this coming season to be great. I mean, I hope that attendance at FedEx Field for this coming season is good. I want all of our local teams to draw, but we all know the reality about FedEx Field and the reality about the co-owner and co-CEO of the Commanders, Dan Snyder. I mean, think about it. The team in FedEx Field has maybe the single most despised venue in all of sports, and the team in Dan Snyder has maybe the single most despised person in all of sports. That is a brutal combination when you're trying to get people to pay tickets to come watch you do your thing. And then you throw on top of all of that the last 30 years for this team in terms of wins and losses. I mean, it really is some combination when you think about all of this. So yeah, fans aren't showing up for games, and forget about practices, even practices that are free to attend. Email from Chris Rossi on Carson Wentz, as we on Thursday's show, episode 364, did a lot of Carson Wentz talk off his post-practice press conference on Wednesday morning on what was day one of Commanders training camp. Writes Chris, "I'm moderately excited about Wentz this year, but I keep hearing people talk about how elite he used to be. I know stats can sometimes be misleading, but when I look at his stats from those elite seasons, they don't look that elite to me. Here are his average stats for his three best years, 2017 through 2019. Passing yards, 3,470. Touchdown passes, 27. Interceptions, 7. As a comparison, I looked at Kirk Cousins, who everyone says is a middle-of-the-pack starter. Not elite. Here are his average stats from all of his years as a starter. Passing yards, 4,223. Touchdown passes, 29. Interceptions, 10. Maybe Wentz will have a good year and throw for over 4,000 yards, but he has only done that once in 6 years. Cousins has done that in 6 out of 7 seasons. I worry that Wentz's ceiling isn't nearly as high as people think that the ceiling is. Fingers crossed, though. Thank you for the email, Chris. Good topic. So I would look at quarterback stats other than passing yards, touchdown passes, and interceptions. Now, those stats matter, but those are counting stats. They are functions of how often you throw the ball. And those stats are basic stats in that the stats are dependent on a number of factors. You know, they don't necessarily isolate the play of the quarterback. Again, I'm not trying to say that those stats don't matter. They do matter. But I'm a big fan personally of ESPN's total QBR. That is an advanced stat that takes into consideration a lot, including game situations, i.e. time down and score, quality of opposing defense, what a quarterback does as a runner, the taking of sacks by a quarterback. So there's a lot that goes into total QBR. It is not gospel. No stat is ever a gospel. But to me, if you're looking for a one-stop shop in terms of a stat for quarterbacks, total QBR is what you want to look at. Carson Wentz has finished in the top 12 among qualified NFL quarterbacks in total QBR in 4 of the last 5 regular seasons. That's pretty good. 4 of the last 5 seasons, Carson has been top 12 in the NFL in what to me is the best singular stat for evaluating quarterback play. Carson Wentz is not an elite quarterback. He certainly has his flaws, and I'm not even saying that he's a top 12 quarterback in the NFL, but he is capable of playing at a top 12 level. And while that is not elite, that is pretty good. Well, you can bet that Ron Rivera is very much wanting Carson Wentz to have a big 2022 season. Ron is going to look very smart if Carson has a big 2022 season. And if Carson flops in the 2022 season, well, Ron will not look so good. Ron Rivera, of course, is a skin cancer survivor. Skin cancer is among the most common of all cancers in the United States, but skin cancer also is among the most curable forms of cancer. Get checked, get screened, and someone who very much can help you with that is Dr. George Verghese. Dr. George Verghese and the Mid-Atlantic Skin Surgery Institute of Maryland offer free skin cancer screenings. Yes, free. Call 301-396-3401 and make sure that you mention that Al Galdi sent you. Dr. George Verghese is a board-certified dermatologist and Mohs surgeon. He is one of the nation's premier dermatologists. He's a big fan of the Commanders. He's a loyal listener of this podcast. And operating under his direction is the Mid-Atlantic Skin Surgery Institute of Maryland. The Mid-Atlantic Skin Surgery Institute of Maryland diagnoses and treats a broad range of acute and chronic skin conditions, including skin cancer. And yes, Dr. George Verghese and the Mid-Atlantic Skin Surgery Institute of Maryland offer free skin cancer screenings and offer state-of-the-art treatments for skin cancer. Dr. George Verghese and the Mid-Atlantic Skin Surgery Institute of Maryland are the DMV's number one outlet for Mohs skin cancer surgery and for superficial radiation therapy, or SRT, which is an alternative to surgical procedures for basal cell and squamous cell skin cancers. You will not find better, more state-of-the-art, or more comprehensive skin treatment and services than what you can get from Dr. George Verghese and the Mid-Atlantic Skin Surgery Institute of Maryland. Early detection and treatment of skin cancer save lives. If you have questions or concerns about your skin, call Dr. George Verghese and the Mid-Atlantic Skin Surgery Institute of Maryland at 301-396-3401. That's 301-396-3401. And make sure that you tell the Institute that Al Galdi sent you. That's 301-396-3401. You can also visit midatlanticskin.com. That's midatlanticskin.com. Dr. George Verghese and the Mid-Atlantic Skin Surgery Institute of Maryland, nationally recognized for treating skin cancer across the Mid-Atlantic region. As is always the case, I appreciate you listening to this podcast. I appreciate you supporting the sponsors of this podcast, and I appreciate you rating and reviewing the podcast. You on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify can give the podcast a 5-star rating, and you on Apple Podcasts can write a review of the podcast. The review does not have to be long, can be just a sentence or two saying that you like the podcast. The ratings and the reviews help a lot, and thank you for doing them. The Commanders on Thursday afternoon announced some good news. The activation of center Chase Roullier off the active physically unable to perform list, the PUP list. Roullier is coming off a fractured left fibula. He suffered that in the loss at the Denver Broncos last Halloween. The feeling had been that he was not long for the PUP list, and sure enough, he was not. So those Commanders players still on the PUP list are edge defender Chase Young, tight end Logan Thomas, and center Tyler Larson. Additionally, offensive tackle Cornelius Lucas is on the active non-football injury list. You also do have running back Antonio Gibson dealing with a hamstring injury. Meantime, no football move by the Commanders in the 2022 offseason was more significant than the trade for quarterback Carson Wentz in March, but no football move by the Commanders in the 2022 offseason was more well-received than them signing receiver Terry McLaurin to a contract extension. The deal got done, right? The Commanders on July 5th officially announced having signed Terry to a 3-year contract extension. There are many stats and facts that capture just how good Terry has been for Washington since it took him in the third round of the 2019 NFL draft. But one of the more impressive things about Terry to me is just how proficient he has been at the contested catch. Terry finished the 2021 regular season number one in the NFL with 25 contested catches per Pro Football Focus. And a big reason for this was that Terry, for the 2021 regular season per PFF, had the lowest rate of catchable targets among all NFL receivers who each had at least 100 targets. Just 62.7% of Terry's targets in the 2021 regular season were deemed catchable by PFF. You would hope that Terry is about to have a whole lot more catchable passes being thrown his way with Carson Wentz as the Commanders' starting quarterback, but no doubt Carson does have a history of inaccuracy. That has been a problem for him. You can't deny that. Terry on Thursday morning did a press conference following Commanders training camp practice. Here was Terry on Thursday morning on how his chemistry with Carson Wentz is coming along.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been great so far, just personally getting to know him, sharing some things we have in common, learning about each other and the backgrounds and our careers up until this point. And I think we got to get out there in California before this started out, and we really got to start talking through things. And now we're out here in game-like situations. The bullets are flying. It's a little faster, but I really like his aggressiveness when he's trying to give us chances down the field. I think that's something that all of us as our offense know we want to improve on is taking those shots down the field, but also connecting on them. And so the only way you get better at those is taking them in practice and connecting on them. So I think whether it's me, Jahan made some good plays down the field, Kelvin, that not only it increases your confidence in those plays, but it gives Coach Turner the confidence to continue to call those, and that could really help open up our offense even more.
So Terry McLaurin, over three seasons with Washington, has caught regular season passes from seven different quarterbacks: Case Keenum, Colt McCoy, Dwayne Haskins, Kyle Allen, Alex Smith, Taylor Heineke, and Garrett Gilbert. Carson Wentz is set to become the ninth different starting quarterback for Terry McLaurin in an NFL regular season. So if anyone knows about getting used to a new quarterback, it is Terry McLaurin. Does Terry see the transition with Carson going well?
Oh, definitely. I think what helps is he's a veteran guy, and he's played with a lot of good receivers and, you know, fast receivers and guys like DeSean Jackson. And so he knows what it's like to play with some fast receivers, some bigger receivers and things like that. And just, you know, his cerebral ability to break things down on the fly is also what helps. And I think as a receiver, myself and the other guys, we want to try to be on the same page as much as possible. I think what's really cool is he throws the ball in a very timely fashion. So it makes us, forces us receivers to be clean at the top of our routes and know we got to get our head around because that ball is going to be coming. So those are little intricacies that we have to hone in on during this time in camp so they could be ready for the games.
All right. Well, Terry McLaurin, of course, went to Ohio State, just like fellow Commanders receiver Curtis Samuel. In fact, each guy was a part of the Buckeyes' 2014 recruiting class. As you may have heard, things did not go so well for Curtis Samuel in his first season with Washington. Washington, in March 2021, signed Curtis Samuel as an unrestricted free agent, three-year, $34.5 million contract with $21.5 million fully guaranteed at signing. But Curtis, in the 2021 regular season, played in just five of Washington's 17 games due to the groin injury to end all groin injuries. However, Curtis Samuel, during Thursday morning's training camp practice, provided one of the highlights of the day. He juked past corner Benjamin St. Juice on a reception from Carson Wentz. Curtis stuck his foot in the ground to make a cut and actually lunged backwards a la a step-back move in basketball, and Curtis ended up making Benjamin look foolish. Curtis was not kind to the juice. Impressive stuff from Curtis Samuel. Now, of course, this was one moment on day two of training camp in late July. But yeah, this was the kind of moment that gives you hope about Curtis Samuel as a Commander. This was the kind of moment that gives you hope about Commander Curtis. Here was Commander Terry on Thursday morning on Curtis Samuel's highlight moment during Thursday morning's training camp practice.
Yeah, I'm just going to let him take it a day at a time, but that gave me definitely flashbacks of college and seeing what he can do with just with the ball in his hands, his versatility after the catch. Most guys catch that ball on a five-yard pass, and they may get two or three extra yards, and the move that he made on a dime, that gets you 10 to 12 extra yards with his ability. So it's cool for other people to see that, get to feel that, and he looks like he has a good spring in his step, and I know he just want to take it a day at a time and continue to build on that and stay healthy, but so far he's doing a really good job.
Yeah, key phrase, so far. Remember, there ended up being a lot more to Curtis Samuel's groin injury than we knew. We, this past November 27th, had multiple reports that Curtis, in June 2021, underwent core muscle surgery. So we're very much in wait-and-see mode with Curtis Samuel. But the guy is talented. Commanders head coach Ron Rivera certainly knows that. He had Curtis during Ron's time as Carolina Panthers head coach. Here was Ron during his post-practice press conference on Thursday morning on his impressions of Curtis Samuel early in training camp.
Well, I thought there was a play, and I think you guys saw it, that showed that in space with the ball how dynamic he can be. And, you know, and that's what we need. That's the kind of explosiveness that you're looking for. If we can get guys with the ball in their hands and in space and create, there's an opportunity for us to win some football games, and that's what we have to do. That's where we got to get to.
Yeah, as poorly as things went for Curtis Samuel last season, they did go well for him the previous season. Curtis Samuel in the 2020 regular season had a career best season in what was his final season with the Panthers. 77 receptions for 851 yards and 3 touchdowns on 97 targets over 15 games. Additionally, he can be utilized as a runner. He, over his 4 regular seasons with the Panthers, 2017 through 2020, 72 carries for 478 yards and 5 touchdowns, 6.64 yards per carry. Curtis Samuel, in fact, was a running back at Ohio State. If Curtis Samuel is healthy for the Commanders this coming season, and of course that's a big if, but if that's the case, then Curtis Samuel is like a major free agent acquisition this offseason for the Commanders, because he barely played for the team last season. But he is really talented, and he could really help the team this coming season. As for Terry McLaurin, on another Commanders receiver who hopefully will make a big impact this coming season, Jahan Dotson, who the Commanders took with the number 16 pick in the 2022 NFL draft. A lot of parallels between Terry and Jahan already have been drawn. Terry on Thursday morning on what he has seen so far from Jahan Dotson.
I didn't know that was him at first in college, but he caught a like one-hander against Ohio State, and you kind of see his ball skills out here. I got to see him again in California, and he's just very natural when he catches the ball. He's quiet, but that's, you know, a lot of rookies, but he has a very business-like approach. You could tell he treats this as his job and a professional, and he has fun when he makes a play. You know, you try to encourage him to smile, you know what I mean, because it's hard to make plays in this league, and when you make explosive plays like he did today, those change games, those changes possessions, and it gets the offense juiced up, you know what I mean, when you see receivers going down making plays like that. So I just want to continue to encourage him to be himself, help, you know, continue to hone in on his skills, take the coaching really well, which he already does, and I think he has a chance to help us a lot.
Yeah, Jahan Dotson played for Penn State for 4 seasons, 2018 through 2021. He, over those 4 seasons, had 38 receptions, each of at least 20 yards, had 6 touchdown receptions, each of at least 60 yards, had 10 touchdown receptions, each of at least 40 yards. And Jahan, like Terry McLaurin, has been very good at the contested catch. This is notable. If, in fact, the Commanders have a starting quarterback in Carson Wentz who is going to have accuracy issues this coming season, it's nice to know that you have multiple receivers who can get the job done when it comes to the contested catch, Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson. But why is Jahan Dotson so good at the contested catch? More from Terry McLaurin on Thursday morning on Jahan Dotson.
I think when you're confident in your ability to catch the football, you know what I mean? I think you're comfortable in a lot of situations. A lot of guys, sometimes you have a tough time tracking the ball down the field. Sometimes you may not be as sure of your hands in contested catch situations. But when you're a sure-handed guy like he is and has been up until this point, he has a lot of confidence when the ball does get in his vicinity. So I think what he did great on that pass that he caught down the field is a lot of receivers may fade away a little bit and let the ball get caught inside, and it gives the DB a chance to get his hand in there. But when you trust your hands like he does, he kept the DB in between him and the ball, and he caught it on his outside shoulder, and he used really good late hands, which it's kind of tough to do. You know, I'm still working on that skill a little bit as well, and the more you improve and the more you go against these great DBs in the league, you have to use little subtle things like that to keep them away from getting their hands in on the ball. So that was really good to see from a young guy, and I know he's just going to continue to improve.
Yeah, you know, to me, the last time that Washington had a truly great top three at receiver was in the 2016 season. Pierre Garçon, DeSean Jackson, and Jamison Crowder. I do believe that the potential exists for Terry McLaurin, Curtis Samuel, and Jahan Dotson to be the team's best big three at receiver since that 2016 big three at receiver. Now, obviously, there's a difference between potential and actual production, but the potential is there. And when you throw, say, Cam Sims into the mix, the Commanders have at least 4 receivers who can be legitimately viewed as playmakers. Up next, much more from Commanders training camp. Nothing was more disappointing about Washington in the 2021 season than the team's defense, and you certainly could make the case that no unit on Washington's defense in the 2021 season was more disappointing than the secondary. Has the secondary been fixed? Has arguably its biggest problem last season, communication, been adequately addressed? I'll get to that and much more after this. Well, if you're like me, you like coffee, and coffee is a part of your routine. I drink coffee before every workout, and I'm a big fan of Trade Coffee, which right now is offering something very special to listeners of the Al Galdi podcast. More on that offer in moments. But Trade Coffee tastes great, and Trade Coffee comes from a great place. Trade Coffee sends you freshly roasted beans from 60 of the country's best craft roasters, small businesses that pay farmers fair prices to sustainably source the greatest beans from around the world. So buying Trade Coffee gets you delicious coffee and supports small businesses and farmers. And here's maybe the best part. Trade Coffee tailors its coffee to you. You complete a very brief coffee quiz, and you get your own personalized variety of coffees delivered fresh to you as often as you like. No gimmicks. Trade Coffee delivers a bag of freshly roasted coffee as whole beans or ground for however you brew your coffee at home. And Trade Coffee guarantees that you'll love your first order, or Trade Coffee will replace your order for free. Trade Coffee is a great motto. There's no one perfect coffee, but there is a perfect coffee for you. And so here's a special offer for listeners of this podcast. Trade Coffee is offering new subscribers a total of $30 off first orders plus free shipping. Just go to drinktrade.com/Al Galdi. drinktrade.com/Al Galdi. Take the quiz and let Trade Coffee find you the coffee that you'll love. Again, $30 off. That's more than 40 cups of coffee for free. Visit drinktrade.com/Al Galdi for $30 off. That's drinktrade.com/Al Galdi for $30 off. One more time. Visit drinktrade.com/Al Galdi for $30 off. More now from day two of 2022 Commanders training camp on Thursday. So I am not one of these people who goes nuts over each rep in a training camp practice. I certainly don't go crazy over who is doing well and who isn't doing well a mere 2 days into a training camp. That said, what was clear on Thursday morning was that the Commanders defense got the best of the Commander's offense. Corner Kendall Fuller had an excellent practice. Linebacker Cole Holcomb intercepted quarterback Carson Wentz. Thursday morning's practice was a good practice for the team's defense and a not-so-good practice for the team's offense. Now, there are a lot of reasons for that. Principal among them, lack of game planning. The defense knows what the offense does, and it's not like the offense is operating some schemed-up plan to attack the defense. This is practice, training camp practice, day two of training camp practice. Commanders head coach Ron Rivera on Thursday morning did a post-practice press conference. Here he was on the Commanders' defense, especially the secondary, very much besting the Commanders' offense during Thursday morning's practice.
Well, the one thing, we talked a little bit about it at the end of OTAs and minicamps. I really liked communications with the secondary, and today was a day where it was a little bit ahead. And the biggest thing I tried to, I circled the guys up and just wanted to make sure, that on the offensive side, they were frustrated, obviously, but they also got to understand that we're not game planning. So when you're not game planning, you're not anticipating, you're not expecting specific type of coverages for certain situations, you may not have the success. You know what I'm saying? So That's kind of a tough part as far as that's concerned. So just trying to make sure they understood that. But as I said, the one thing I really liked was I thought the back seven had a real nice day. A lot of it had to do with the communications. We are working on some things and a little bit new, and I think that catches people by surprise as far as the offense is concerned. But like I said, I was really pleased with what we got on the defensive side.
Now, among those Commanders offensive players who got frustrated on Thursday morning were Carson Wentz and receiver Terry McLaurin. Ron Rivera on Thursday morning on if he doesn't mind Carson and Terry being frustrated, given that Ron expects Carson and Terry to be just fine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is. And but they want to perform. Yeah, they really do. And that I appreciate as well. But like I said, we're not game planning. And that's the thing we all have to understand. You know, certain routes don't work very well against certain coverage concepts. So, you know, when you're out there and vice versa, some coverages aren't built for certain routes either. So it works both ways. Today just seemed to fall in the defense's favor.
So with the Commander secondary, we certainly have a sense of the four defensive backs in a 4-3 base alignment, right? Corners Kendall Fuller and William Jackson III, and safeties Cameron Curl and Bobby McCain. But there's a lot to be determined beyond those four, especially considering that the Commanders this coming season, like every other NFL team this coming season, will have at least five defensive backs on the field more often than not. Is Benjamin St. Juice, in fact, the team's primary nickel corner? Who is the primary Buffalo nickel? Safeties Percy Butler and Derek Forrest and linebacker Khalik Hudson appear to be the primary candidates, although the Commanders could have Cameron Curl play the Buffalo nickel, as he did a good bit during his 2020 rookie season. Ron Rivera on Thursday morning on what he has been seeing from the secondary in terms of depth.
Well, the guys that, you know, we're given opportunities at the Buffalo and at the nickel position, you know, I think those guys have really stepped up. You know, it's good to watch. It really is, because, you know, that's what you want to see. I mean, Benjamin coming back and right now getting the first shot at the Buffalo seems to really be fitting and adapting to it nicely. You know, Danny's a guy that's very consistent. We know who Danny is for us. And then we got a couple of young guys. I'm not going to name them. The less people know about them, the better. But they've done a nice job. They really have. But those two guys in particular, you know, you see some really good things from Benjamin and Danny at that Buffalo / nickel position.
All right, so that was a little confusing because Ron Rivera seemed to be using Buffalo nickel to mean nickel corner. Those are two different positions, but there are similarities. And honestly, we shouldn't get too caught up in Buffalo nickel versus nickel corner. The idea is this: who is the 11th defensive player on the field? The Commanders' primary 10 defensive players for this coming season, if everyone is healthy, figure to be edge defenders Chase Young and Montez Sweat, interior defensive linemen Jonathan Allen and Deron Payne, linebackers Cole Holcomb and Jamin Davis, corners Kendall Fuller and William Jackson III, and safeties Cameron Curl and Bobby McCain. Now, maybe it ends up being that Jamin Davis doesn't play so much, but for now, those would seem to be the Commanders' primary 10 defensive players for this coming season if everyone is healthy. Who will be player number 11? Well, that's going to vary. But the options include corners Benjamin St. Juice and Danny Johnson, safeties Percy Butler, Derek Forrest, and Jeremy Reeves, and linebacker Khalik Hudson. Regardless of who is playing defense for the Commanders, the communication in the secondary this coming season needs to be a lot better than the communication in Washington's secondary was for way too much of last season, especially over Washington's first 8 games of the 2021 regular season. Ron Rivera on Thursday morning on whether off what we had during Thursday morning's practice, he feels like the secondary is in a better place in terms of communication.
I think so. I really do. I think it's a very good sign. You know, I think Bobby McCain and Cam Curl right now are showing us that you know, their connection, their ability to work together has been very solid. You know, I think Jeremy Reeves and Defoe, Derek Forrest are two guys that are you know, getting opportunities to be mixed in a little bit, and they've done a nice job as well. So that's been kind of cool to watch.
Yeah, so Washington finished the 2021 regular season with some hideous defensive rankings. There are 32 NFL teams. Washington finished the 2021 regular season at number 27 in total defense per Football Outsiders DVOA metric, number 28 in pass defense per DVOA, number 31 in lowest opponent's third down efficiency, 48.5%, number 25 in fewest points allowed per game, 25.5, number 27 in lowest opponent's yards per play at 5.74. Bottom line, Washington's defense last season was not good, especially the pass defense. All of the preseason hype for Washington's defense last year ended up looking rather foolish. Washington's defense last season, as our friend the Iron Sheik would say, got made humble.
Make him humble!
Yes, Sheiky baby, make him humble. Washington's defense last season got put in the camel clutch by one good quarterback after another. Well, Ron Rivera on Thursday morning made it a point to give props to defensive coordinator Jack Del Rio and the other defensive coaches for what they've been instilling in Commanders defensive players. Take a listen.
I also want to praise the message that Coach Del Rio and the staff are preaching. That's humility. Let's come in. Let's be humble. Let's earn it. Let's earn the right. And I really love that messaging. I sat in the defensive meeting yesterday and the day before and just listened. And I really appreciated that message to the guys. And they seem to be getting it. And so because of that, I think, you know, the focus now is, hey, let's just do our job and we'll go from there.
Now, also doing a post-practice press conference on Thursday morning was safety Bobby McCain. The Commanders this past March re-signed McCain. He had been an unrestricted free agent. Washington initially signed McCain on May 17th, 2021 as an unrestricted free agent off him having been released by the Miami Dolphins on May 6th, 2021. Bobby McCain for the 2021 regular season led Washington in defensive snaps at 93.13% in playing in all 17 games, led the team with 4 interceptions, and was number 2 on the team with 9 pass defenses. It was tricky with Bobby McCain because he was a big part of a Washington secondary that was really bad during the team's 2-6 start to the 2021 regular season. But McCain also was a big part of a Washington secondary that played well in 6 of the team's final 9 games in the 2021 regular season. Bobby McCain's overall grade for Pro Football Focus for the 2021 regular season was 70.9. PFF grades are on a scale of 0 to 100. Here was McCain on Thursday morning on if he has noticed the communication in the secondary being better than the communication was last season.
Yeah, that's one thing we're preaching in the room, man, just communicating. Like I said earlier, if you're all wrong, you're all right. So if you communicate and everybody gets it across the board, you know, there's not too many teams that'll beat you athletically. You know, a lot of times you get in the room and you see bad plays, and it's not necessarily the guy just making a crazy play. It's more or less, oh, I didn't know I had help. Oh, I didn't get that call. Oh, I didn't know this. So that's all on communication. That's all everybody doing, just their piece to let the next guy know, like, hey, this is where I'm at. This is where your help is, and this is where the weaknesses are.
How does a secondary get better at communicating? We have seen so much bad secondary communication with our team over the years. How does a secondary get better at communicating? Here was some more from Bobby McCain on Thursday morning.
Yeah, it comes with time and it comes with reps. You know, but Ben, we got a lot of vets in the secondary, in Will, Cam, myself, K-Fool, and, you know, just understanding that, you know, you got to bring the young guys along because maybe, like, you know, maybe this is their first year or their second year. They're not too fond of talking, or they don't want to communicate, or they feel like they don't want to speak up. But now you have to, man, because when we're all out there, we all got to be on the same page.
Yes, you do. It was maddening how bad Washington's secondary was over the first 8 games of the 2021 regular season. There really was no excuse for that. The secondary was mostly healthy and was too talented to perform as poorly as it did. The number one key for success for the Commanders this coming season is Carson Wentz. The number two key is the team secondary playing up to its potential and being better than the unit was last season. Up next, a surprising retirement for the Commanders. I'll get to that straight ahead.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So one of the bigger actual news items from day two of 2022 Commanders training camp on Thursday was a retirement. Head coach Ron Rivera, during his post-practice press conference on Thursday morning, revealed that tight end Antonio Gandy-Golden, AGG, has decided to retire. Not that this was some monumental occurrence, okay, but this did stand out. So this coming season, it was to be just Gandy-Golden's age 24 season. Ron, this past May 24th, in a post-OTA practice press conference, confirmed that Gandy-Golden was switching from receiver to tight end, but now just a few months into that position switch, Gandy-Golden is retiring. Here was Ron on Thursday morning.
He just felt the time was now. He is going to go back to school, or at least he told me he wanted to continue his education and then go from there. He's a heck of a young man. He did a nice job for us. Really do appreciate who he is and who he was for us as a football player and as a young man. And because he's a young, bright young man, I really do believe he's got a bright future ahead of him and wish him all the best as he goes forward in his life.
So the truth about Antonio Gandy-Golden is that his NFL career just had not been going all that well. Now, he was a very well-received draftee of the Redskins. The Skins took then-receiver Antonio Gandy-Golden in the fourth round of the 2020 NFL draft out of Liberty. ESPN NFL front office insider and former Redskins front office executive Louis Riddick on the ESPN ABC telecast of day three of the 2020 draft called the Skins taking Gandy-Golden a, quote, spectacular pick by the Redskins, end quote. NFL draft analyst Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network and NFL.com labeled the Skins' selection of Gandy-Golden as the best value pick in the fourth round of the 2020 draft. Jeremiah had Gandy-Golden as the number 79 overall player in the draft, but he went with pick number 142. But Gandy-Golden had a lost 2020 rookie season. Gandy-Golden in the 2020 regular season played in just six games and totaled just one reception on three targets. He was on Washington's reserve injured list from October 24th, 2020 to December 26th, 2020 due to a hamstring injury. And Antonio Gandy-Golden in the 2021 season was all over the place in terms of roster transactions. Washington last August 31st released Gandy-Golden in the cutdown to 53, then the next day signed him to the practice squad. Washington last October 23rd announced the signing of Gandy-Golden from the practice squad to the active roster. He had been elevated from the practice squad to the active roster for each of the previous two games, but Gandy-Golden from weeks 10 through 16 was inactive for seven consecutive games. Washington this past New Year's Day released Gandy-Golden, but Washington on January 4th signed him back to the practice squad, and Washington on January 10th announced the re-signing of Gandy-Golden to a reserve future contract. He was a bigger receiver. The Commanders listed Gandy-Golden as being 6'4 and 223 pounds, and so he was making the switch to tight end, but there never appeared to be a clear path for Gandy-Golden making the 53-man roster. Not with Logan Thomas and John Bates and Cole Turner all clearly ahead of Gandy-Golden. You also have this undrafted rookie tight end, Curtis Hodges, out of Arizona State, getting a lot of hype. Ron Rivera on Thursday morning on if he was surprised by Gandy-Golden deciding to retire.
I was a little surprised just because I thought he was doing a really good job. As an F in our style offense, a guy that could play the F or the U tight end position, he was making some pretty good strides. And, during OTA's mini camps, he showed his ability, and we felt this was a guy that could have been a matchup problem for some people. So, a little surprise, But again, like I said, I love who he is as a young man, and I want to wish him all the best as he goes back and starts the rest of his life.
Yeah, look, playing in the NFL isn't for everyone. Grinding through being cut and serving multiple practice squad stints and not knowing your long-term future in the sport can be tough. And if your heart isn't into trying to make it as an NFL player, then you can't fake your heart being into trying to make it as an NFL player. Football, of course, is an ultra-physical and brutal sport. You can't fake the desire to play the game. You're either into it or you're not. And if you're not into it, then you should get out of it. And Antonio Gandy-Golden is young enough and bright enough to where he can do a lot of things with his life. Ron Rivera on Thursday morning on if Gandy-Golden's passion for football is gone.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like in our conversation, was that, you know, it just he just didn't feel it right now anymore. And you know, he was talking about going back to school and finishing his education and, you know, seeing what else is out there for him. So, as I said, he's a heck of a young man, and I do wish him, truly wish him all the best.
Now, like I said, the Redskins took Antonio Gandy-Golden in the fourth round of the 2020 draft. He and offensive lineman Sadiq Charles were taken by the Skins in the fourth round of that draft. The jury is out on Charles, but obviously Gandy-Golden did not work out. Washington's fourth round pick in the 2021 draft, tight end John Bates, appears to have been a good pick, and we'll see what comes of the Commanders' fourth round pick in the 2022 draft, safety Percy Butler, who could end up being the Commanders' primary Buffalo nickel for this coming season. The phrase is Orioles magic. It dates back decades. It is a song, in fact, Orioles Magic. The song debuted on April 15th, 1980. Orioles Magic. Feel it happen. Here you go.
Every game has a different start on WFDR.
Yeah, Orioles magic, feel it happen. Well, we this season have Orioles magic, and we are feeling it happen. The O's on Thursday afternoon beat the Tampa Bay Rays 3-0 at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. The O's in a four-game series against the Rays, one of the best organizations in MLB, won three games. What a job by the O's in this series, and the Orioles' magic very much on display. Tuesday night, a 5-3 win. The O's overcame a 3-2 eighth-inning deficit. Ramon Urias in the Orioles' three-run eighth, a go-ahead two-run homer to left field over the Great Wall of Baltimore on an 0-2 pitch for a 4-3 Orioles lead. The homer went a projected 424 feet per Statcast, was his fifth homer in 10 games. Wednesday night, a 6-4 10-inning loss, but the O's in the game overcame a 4-3 ninth-inning deficit as Jorge Mateo in the bottom of the ninth smashed a one-out game-tying opposite-field solo homer to right center field to tie the game at four. And on Thursday afternoon, in this 3-0 win, the O's in a two-run eighth got a two-run inside-the-park home run from Trey Mancini on an 0-2 pitch in perhaps his final plate appearance as an Oriole at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Like I said, Orioles magic, feel it happen.
Orioles magic, hear it happen. Orioles magic, hear it happen.
Yes, exactly. And I tell you what, while we're playing Orioles drops, Joe Angel, don't think that I forgot about you.
And the Orioles again in the win column.
Yes, Joe. Hello, Joe. The O's, they are back above 500. The O's in this 2022 regular season now are 50-49, including 36-25 since a 14-24 start. The O's are three games behind the Rays for the American League's third wild card spot. So Trey Mancini on Thursday afternoon, he is the Orioles starting DH and number two batter, 2-for-4 with a two-run inside the park homer and a single. Mancini in the Orioles two-run eighth, a two-out two-run inside the park home run on an 0-2 pitch for a 3-0 Orioles lead. Now, the inside the park homer was a direct result of Rays right fielder Josh Lowe losing track of a high fly ball and failing to make what should have been a routine catch. The ball went off of Lowe's face, rolled toward the right field corner, and was retrieved by Rays center fielder Roman Quinn. So this wasn't like some excellent piece of hitting by Mancini. In fact, the hit had an expected batting average of 40 per StatCast, as in .040. But what happened happened. The official scoring was what it was, and Trey Mancini got credited with a two-out, two-run, inside-the-park home run on an 0-2 pitch for a 3-0 Orioles lead. And what was also notable about the inside-the-park homer was that it happened in Mancini's final plate appearance as an Oriole at Oriole Park at Camden Yards prior to the MLB trade deadline, which is this Tuesday, August 2nd at 6 p.m. Eastern. We for months have had speculation that the O's are likely to trade Trey Mancini. This season is Mancini's age 30 season and his final season of team control. I do believe that the O's should trade Mancini. The O's need to stick to the process that has been put in place by Executive Vice President and General Manager Mike Elias. What he is doing is working, as we are seeing by the drastic improvement for the O's this season. The process is working. The rebuild is working. And so now is not the time to deviate from the process. Now is the time to double down on the process. And the process screams that if you can further add to your already rich inventory of prospects by trading a free agent to be in his age 30 season, who is pretty one-dimensional as a player, you do it. And I say that with all due respect to Trey Mancini. Great guy, tremendous story. Mancini's OPS for the 2022 regular season is 757. That's nice, but that's also not irreplaceable. Here was O's manager, Brandon Hyde, during his post-game press conference on Thursday afternoon on Trey Mancini.
Yeah, who knows what's going to happen, but I think that fans, that was really cool, the ovation they gave him, and saying thank you to him for the years, the great years he's had here, and we'll see what happens. I don't know if anybody knows, but Trey appreciated it, and what a way to go out.
What has Trey meant to you in your tenure here?
Somebody that is, I hope I continue. I don't want to, put the cart before the horse or anything. I think, who knows what's going to happen, like I said, but I really enjoyed managing him. He is somebody that, has gone through obviously what he went through, and we've had great on-field, off-field conversations, and he's opened my eyes to a lot of things, and consider him a close friend.
What has he meant to a young club because of what he's gone through personally and professionally?
Well, I think the obvious is, perseverance, toughness, grind, put any sort of those adjectives out there. He's shown that. And, none of us know what he went through exactly. We've never felt what he did. And to go through chemotherapy and play baseball a year later in the major leagues, it's unbelievable.
He said you can be hard on himself, and you appreciate that aspect of him, but to have that skid that he's gone on and then have this moment, does that make it even more special to see him get it?
Yeah, I think everybody in the park was hoping for a feel good there at the end. And a very kind of unusual play, but and when we needed it. I know he's exhausted right now. It's a long run, so pretty cool.
Yeah, Trey Mancini this past November won the American League Comeback Player of the Year Award. The Comeback Player of the Year Awards began in 2005. The awards are voted on by the 30 club beat reporters from MLB.com. Mancini in the 2021 season returned off having missed all of the 2020 season due to stage 3 colon cancer. Mancini in the 2021 regular season, 147 games, 616 plate appearances, OPS plus of 106, 100 is league average. Nothing but respect for Trey Mancini. And if that inside the park homer on Thursday afternoon was his final plate appearance as an Oriole at Oriole Park at Camden Yards, what a way to go out. Also delivering for the O's offensively on Thursday afternoon was Anthony Santander. He is the Orioles starting right fielder and number 3 batter, 2-for-4 with an RBI double and a single. Santander in the Orioles' 1-run third, a 2-out opposite field RBI double to the right center field gap for a 1-0 Orioles lead despite having been down in the count at 1.12. Santander now has a slugging percentage of 470 this month. Remember, he hit a big homer in this series. Santander in the 5-3 win over the Rays on Tuesday night as the Orioles starting right fielder and number 4 batter, 1-for-3 with a solo homer. And he had an outfield assist, but Santander in an Orioles 1-run fourth, a 2-out solo homer to left center field of Rays ace Shane McClanahan to cut the Orioles' deficit to 3-2 despite having been down to the count at 1.02. The final score of the Orioles' win over the Rays on Thursday afternoon was 3-0. The Orioles' pitching in the game was quite effective. Jordan Lyles was the Orioles' starting pitcher. He tossed 5 2/3 scoreless innings. Now, he did issue 4 walks, and he did throw a lot of balls. 106 pitches, just 58 strikes versus 48 balls, but he only gave up 3 hits, all of which were singles, and he recorded 4 strikeouts. Jordan Lyles now in the 2022 regular season, 21 starts, ERA of 4.56. He, to me, is a dark horse trade candidate for the O's. The O's in March officially announced the signing of Lyles as a free agent to a 1-year contract with a club option for 2023. So he essentially is a pending free agent, although he doesn't have to be. This season is his age 31 season. And then there was the Orioles bullpen on Thursday afternoon. And the bullpen was outstanding yet again this season. 3 Orioles relievers combined for 3 1/3 scoreless innings with 5 strikeouts. Cionel Pérez, 1 1/3 scoreless innings with 2 strikeouts. His ERA for the 2022 regular season down to 1.30. Brian Baker tossed 2/3 of a scoreless inning. And Felix Bautista, the flamethrower, he tossed 1 1/3 perfect innings with 3 strikeouts. Bautista now in the 2022 regular season, 44 games, 42 innings, ERA of 1.50, WHIP of 0.86, strikeouts per 9 innings of 11.79. How many relievers in the majors this season have been better than Felix Bautista? Brandon Hyde, during his postgame press conference on Thursday afternoon, on what Felix Bautista did on Thursday afternoon.
I mean, on fumes, too. It's on fumes, throwing 100. Face a Rosarena with runners in scoring position. Gets out of that. Punch. And then goes out and goes 1-2-3 ninth. He is CNL, 5 enormous outs. I mean, we had about 4 guys down today. And the guys that threw and then the 2 guys we just brought up were the guys that were available. And those guys really, you know, we pitched really well all series, especially out of the bullpen. We have a really good bullpen, and it's fun.
Yes, it is. The O's now for the 2022 regular season are number 3 in the majors with a relief pitching ERA of 3.01. Next up for the O's, a 6-game road trip, a 3-game series at the Cincinnati Reds Friday through Sunday, followed by a 3-game series at the Texas Rangers Monday through Wednesday. And And that will do it for you and me for now. Keep the feedback coming. You can tweet me at Al Galdi. You can email me, thealgaldipodcast@yahoo.com. Monday show, episode 366. We'll have lots of Commanders talk off whatever goes down at Commanders training camp Friday through Sunday. And we'll see if anything else arises when it comes to Dan Snyder and Congress. I'll have a lot for you on the Nationals and Orioles. The Nats this weekend and perhaps their final weekend with Juan Soto will play a three-game series against the St. Louis Cardinals at Nationals Park. The O's this weekend will play a three-game series at the Cincinnati Reds. Have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you on Monday.
Make him humble!